Good morning, everyone. I'm Sally. I'm one of the community here. This morning, we've got a reading from Galatians 4, 27 to 31. I'm going to read it from my study Bible because I read it in the NIV and I panicked a bit. Oh, my word, what do I do with this? So I've got the help of this one. It's about Hagar and Sarah and Abraham's two children. Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scripture says that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people receive the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother, as Isaiah said. Rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into joyful shout, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep you, those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, we are children of the free woman. So one of the comments is, says, Paul now explained the meaning that lies behind those historical events. Paul began with the two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, and explained that they illustrate our two births, the physical birth that makes us sinners, and the spiritual birth that makes us the children of God. As you think about this and read Genesis 21, 1 to 12, you discover some wonderful spiritual truths about your salvation. So I'm going to read. Genesis 1 to 12, the birth of Isaac. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would, and Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, God brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son. He is not going to share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. I won't have it." This upset Abraham very much, because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, "Do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." So it says, battling legalism. Some people in the New Testament argued that one must keep the law to obtain salvation. Paul countered the argument by comparing the law to the life of Hagar. To begin with, Hagar was Abraham's second wife. She was added alongside Sarah. Likewise, the law was added alongside God's already existing promises, and was temporary. God did not start with the law, he started with grace. Second, Hagar was a servant. Why then was the law given? Paul asks in Galatians 3:19, and he gives the answer. The law was God's servant, a schoolmaster or child tutor, to keep the infant nation of Israel under control and prepare them for the coming of the Redeemer. The law was given to reveal sin, but not to redeem us from sin. Grace does not serve law. It is law that serves grace. The law reveals our need for grace, and grace saves us completely apart from the works of the law. A third fact is obvious. Hagar was never supposed to bear the promised child. The law cannot give what only Jesus Christ can give: life, righteousness, the Holy Spirit, or an eternal inheritance. All of these blessings come only by grace, through faith. This leads to a fourth fact. Hagar gave birth to a slave. If you decide to live under the law, then you become a child of Hagar, a slave. For the law produces bondage and not freedom. The first doctrinal battle the church had to fight was on this very issue, and it was decided that sinners are saved wholly by grace. Apart from keeping the law of the Moses, legalists in the church today are turning sons into slaves and replacing freedom with slavery. Yet God calls us to freedom. Finally, Hagar never married again. God gave his law to the Jewish nation only, and never gave it to the Gentiles or the church. 9 of the 10 commandments are quoted in the epistles as applying to believers today, and we should obey them. But we are not commanded to obey the ceremonial laws that were given only to Israel. Paul affirms that it is love that fulfills the law. When we love God and love one another, we want to obey God. And in the Spirit's power, we do what is right. I'm going to play a song now. And I'd like us to think about how legalistic we can feel, you know, that we are maybe making things traditional, legalistic in our lives. And just maybe pray that we live by the Spirit rather than by everyday things that we're supposed to do. Liturgy and things like that are really good, but we can just say it off by pat and it doesn't mean anything. So let's try and imagine that when we're saying our thanks to God that he's sitting right here, how different would we be if we could see God here? Because we say God is in our midst and Jesus lives within us. And we all get to those places where we're sitting there and we're thinking, oh, I wonder if there's bacon for breakfast. So let's just take a moment to concentrate and recenter, refocus ourselves on meaning what we say when we say it. So before we go to breakfast, let's just turn to our neighbour and say with meaning, may God bless you today. And if you're feeling brave, maybe say it to someone at the breakfast table. May God bless you today. Amen.